Hey, 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 Changed Up Now What Nation? This is your girl, Coach T, and my husband, Coach G, and I are on a mission to help the world obtain and maintain healthy relationships. Speaking of healthy, we're on the move to teach 101 students about safe dating and rape prevention. You would be surprised at the number of young people that have been affected by a sexual predator. Now, you know your girl is a survivor, and my husband, Coach G, was one of my biggest supporters on my healing journey. So we want to return the favor by teaching the youth about the preventative measures they can take to remain safe. For more details about how you can help us reach our goal by sponsoring or signing up a child, please visit www.cu-nw.com and click on Support the Movement. It's not every day that you get to sit down and chat with a level-headed individual about life. Think about your life for a minute, your age, and the valuable amount of time that you've already spent on Earth. Now, I'd like to ask you a rhetorical question. How much of that precious time have you spent discussing sex, bills, gossip, stress, work, communicating today about what could happen tomorrow, etc.? Now, on the other hand, when was the last time that you took out a moment to appreciate yourself, mind, body, and soul? My next guest applied these lessons to his life and taught these methods to his children while also becoming a student to them. And he gives credit to the beautiful women in his life, such as his mom, his grandmothers, and last but not least, to the women that he has dated. Ladies and gents, please welcome life coach, motivational speaker, and father, Doobie. Hey, 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 how you doing, Doobie?
Yes, I am breathing. My biggest blessing, my biggest blessing that I could ever have. And so I am well. How about yourself?
All is well. It's been a pretty productive year so far, man. I've been enjoying myself.
You know, you say that, and this year is flying by already, right? It's March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just celebrating the new year, right?
Yeah, it seemed like just yesterday we were saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And we almost in the, second quarter, right?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. And, you know, if you are really into this life thing, right, then you would realize that this is the beginning of the natural new year, right?
No, I don't. I think I heard you mentioning something about that a while ago on your show, and I was just listening, but.
Yeah, it's springtime. This is the new year. This is the life new year, right? Everything starting to spring into new life.
Yep, that's exactly what you said. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I got a new perspective on the new year. Because, Doobie, to be honest with you, I really don't get caught up in the whole new year thing.
Yes.
Of course, I pray. I thank God that he brought me into a new year because some people was right at the cusp of entering this new time and they didn't get a chance to. So I got my little way. But I just look at it all as seasons, you know?
Yes. So. Oh, yes. Yes. Great perspective.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to talk about more of that New Year stuff. Don't worry about it. All right. So you are actually in the business of saving lives. Okay. Now, your life coaching, podcasting, and motivationally speaking, I call that one of the limbs of saving lives. You never know. One thing about us as speakers, we never know that the very thing that we say might be something to help somebody's life along the way. So you are in that business.
Would you like to kind of expound on your movement and why you decided to embark upon this journey?
Yeah, sure. For me, this is something that has been a passion of mine all of my life, even since I've been a little kid. Even in being in like the boys' club, right? And back then it was always trying to unify everybody, right? Everyone, let's have fun. Everyone, no one's left out, right? I was always like that. And I think what has happened is I really didn't have a grasp on what I was supposed to be doing, but I always felt as if it was something about loving my people, loving family, everyone, it's just this life. It was beautiful. And so once I got a grasp of that as I grew older, it allowed me to really start eliminating a lot of unnecessary stress, right? Which allowed me to start focusing on myself, right? That was basically it. And once I started focusing on myself, that was the epitome of it all, because it brought me to the point where I realized on my journey, myself journey, that I needed to start raising awareness to my family. Because I didn't want to be the only one sitting at the table with awareness, and everyone else was not.
Yeah, and I say that because for those of you all who don't know, there's a dynamic app, audio sociable app called Wisdom, and he's on there often, I believe 3 times a week. Is that right?
That's correct.
3 times a week, this brother is on there, and the topics and the perspective and even the guests that he brings on, it's just so interesting to listen to and refreshing. But one thing about it is every time I tune into his talks, you can tell that he speaks from the heart. And that's why I was asking you about why you decided to embark on this journey, because you can tell a person that just talks, 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 but you can also tell when it actually comes from the mind and from the heart. And I just think that your listeners can feel that every time that you come on to speak. So.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I am very passionate about this because, I've learned to just be real. That's it. And once you're real, it's heartfelt, right? Has nothing to do with anything else but that feeling. That's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It really is. It really is. It's so, you know what just went off in my head when you said that?
What was that?
Spring. Like all of these things just giving life. It's creating new life, new perspective, new passion, new fire for people that actually intake, that people that actually gravitate to your word. I just saw spring like birthing for people, you know?
That's nice. That's a great point. That's a great analogy of that too. Yes, it is.
See,
Great.
I'm not a philosophical person, but you got me all in philosophy right now. That's about the best I can get, so.
Listen, this is what it's all about. It's raising awareness, and it's in you. You know what I mean? It's not as if anything is ever erased. It just needs to be raised awareness of, you know what I mean?
That's true. That's true. And what I like about it is I've heard you get quote unquote philosophical and get real knee deep in stuff and some of the terminologies and examples that you use. But when you get somebody like me up there, you can break it down on that level too. So like your guests that come up, it's like you're prepared for all of it. And you can't go wrong when you come from the heart because you can only be you. And you could only share your perspective as you know it. So,
That's true. I totally agree. I totally agree.
yes, sir. So, you have mentioned to me that you have learned a lot from women as a youngster. So, what was young Doobie like? And What are some of the examples that you learned from these women while young?
You know, really, it was what I call the trifecta when I was in high school, because it was my mother, it was both of my grandmothers, right? Mm-hmm. And I also had the opportunity of meeting both of my great-grandmothers and speaking with them as well. But I really, between the trifectas of my mother and my grandmothers, that was so much knowledge. I was the one that always questioned them. You know, I was the only one that wanted to, because here's the thing. I realized that I'm a male, or even if I was a female, I was reproduced from a female and a female only, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, that female to me is the closest thing to the creator that we could imagine on this earth. Mm. Or that we could even touch in the physical flesh. To be reproduced from a female is one of the most powerful blessings we can have. And so that intrigued me, because I always wanted to know, where did I come from? How was I birthed? My mother explained that to me, right? And it went from there. It went from there, right? It went from there to try to understand who this female was.
Wow. And I like how you say reproduced.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Reproduced. But man, yeah. You know, honestly, when I think of that question, I thought about myself and I wondered, what would your response be? Because I kind of reflected on me as a kid. And man, I asked a lot of questions for my elders, whether they were younger elders or older elders. I gathered a lot from asking questions. And yeah. My grandmother was the one to tell me, there's no such thing as a dumb question. If you got a question, ask it, you know?
So, Big Ma, right?
Yes.
Big Ma, yes.
Now, as you grew up into a man, you also had dates to teach you a thing or two. Explain some of what you learned from there. Because I don't hear that a lot. I do not hear a lot of men say they learned a lot from the women that they were engaged with. Like, that's so I want to hear your take on that.
Listen, oh my goodness. Listen, again, I tell you, I keep it real, because I dated a few females, you know, and I can tell you like this. I learned from each and every one of them. They are still in my memory to this day. That's no disrespect to any relationship I have at the moment or may have in the future. But here's the thing. The lessons learned from each of those females were only the aftermath of what I was gaining from my mother, my great-grandmother, and my grandmothers, right? So therefore, what they were teaching me, I was prepared for, but they were bringing me into the moment. You feel me? Each one of those relationships were bringing me into the moment, strengthening me as a man, because it only allowed me to understand the female's perspective. Now, it didn't teach me to know a female. Like, I can't fool myself that way. But it only allowed me to really get a better understanding of the female. And it allowed my relationships to be that much better.
Yes, yes. You know, when I first was just contemplating on writing my book back in 2016, 2015, it was just a thought. And I had to figure out a way to write the book and word it to where it's not bashing those past relationships I was in, but rather teaching lessons and hoping that it'll become someone's blessings. A lot of people have told me, well, why don't you just make it a tell-all type of bashing book? No, we got enough negativity. I would say for me, I learned a lot about myself from these men.
Mm.
Now, I did learn a little bit more about men, but what I had seen was what I grew up around. Sure. But personally, I learned that unless someone forces themselves on you or takes something from you, a lot of times they dish out what you're given. So if you make it easy access for certain parts of your life and your body and your mind.
Yes.
Hey, if you with the wrong person, you can be a person's playground. So I had to learn that, hey, if you want to be treated like a wife, if you want to be treated like a woman with respect, if you want longevity in a relationship, then T, you got to change you. There's nothing holding you in these relationships. It's nothing. And then when the good man comes along, don't treat him like crap. When you're treating these other people like, you know, I'm giving them the world. Like,
yeah.
Show love to the brothers who's showing love to you and recognize that.
Yes.
I learned a lot. Stuff I wasn't taught, I learned a lot from just dating. So I could respect that, man. Like, So it sounds like from time to time, you kind of reflect on these ladies and what you've learned throughout your relationship with them.
Yes, of course, because it's like this. The mind is a automatic recorder, right? Your mind is so powerful. And so we have to respect that. We cannot erase anything. We must learn from whatever we've gone through. And so therefore, you know, if I'm dealing with females, so I must utilize what I've been through, my experiences with these females in order to better my relationship for the moment or for the future. You feel me? And so therefore, it's all about respecting the laws of nature, respecting yourself, right? First and foremost, and then understanding how to have a better relationship. That's the issue. We must understand how to relate.
Yeah, yes, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. How to relate relationships. See, I'm telling y'all, every time this man say something, it's just like, ooh, ha. It's so true though. And man, okay. Now, sons or daughters or both?
Yes, I actually have both. The best of both worlds. I have two sons and a daughter.
And okay. So,
yeah, I do. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you spread the knowledge of what you've learned with them? Like, I don't know, did you kind of teach your boys how to treat the ladies? Did you treat the ladies and let your daughters know what the men look for? Like, how did you spread that knowledge to them in a way that they could understand?
I can put it simply as this. I was always an example. Ah. So therefore, my children respect daddy to the utmost. Well respected. And therefore, you know, their relationships are well. You know, they don't have terrible relationships. They demand relationships that are open and are able to grow. And if not, have to keep it moving. But they're young, they're growing, and that's what it's about. They're learning. And that's what I love about my children. They are open-minded. They are not too procedural in life. They are living their life as best they can. And that's right. The important thing, because that develops a stronger relationship and a bond that they're looking for, because they're being themselves.
Right, exactly. All right, so Doobie, there's a little story time here. When I first had kids, oh my gosh, I thought that, like, this was, of course, in the beginning of my parenting journey, right? Because I used to babysit children a lot. I'm the oldest of seven. And in the 90s, everybody was having babies. So I was always watching kids. So I thought I kind of had it down packed and knew everything that I needed to know. So in the beginning of my parenting journey, I was under the impression that my kids would do whatever I said, when I said it, exactly the way that I said it. Because why? I am mom. Okay. Now, I am sure that you have learned a thing or two as well when it comes to being a father and when you first became a father, and maybe even now. Can you agree with that and shed some light on your perspective of what your kids have taught you?
Sure. Yeah, that's great perspective. I'm glad you put it that way, because I was just going to say, as a father myself, I realized that I also needed to learn from my children, because my children, they were part of the reason why my inner child was so strong. You feel me? Because it was open to them in order to have that strength and to have me in a position to realize that my inner child is alive. You feel me? So therefore, I was able to relate to my children on a balanced level, right? On a balanced level. So therefore, I was a teacher and a student at the same time. And so were they. They were a teacher and a student at the same time with me. And so therefore, I didn't have to force anything on my children. They were able to resonate with what I was doing and how I was living my life. You feel me? So therefore, the relationship was very strong and it was able to grow. And even to this day, as they are in their late adulthood, you know, we're able to still grow and learn from each other because it started at such a young age.
So how do you be the authoritative figure in your child's life and that loving person and all of that, but at the same time, give them room to, you know, do all those things that you were talking about, basically giving them room to learn and to teach and all of that? Like, how do you combine the two?
Well, actually, what you have to do is at an early age, you have to, it's a mental thing, really. It doesn't have to be physical. It's a mental thing. Once you establish that at a young age, it's easy because it's developed at that point. It's respected because I feel that a lot of times parents, they will wait until it's too late to try to implement that type of tactic. And at that point, the child is no longer a child. They are more than likely a teenager or growing into late teenage years, right? So therefore, the combative spirit is there, right? That combative spirit is there because something wasn't implemented from the beginning.
Hmm.
That, you know, at that point, you may have to point a finger if you had to at the parent. Or I would always say, the female, because I love the female. The female is her universe. She is the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so our lessons come from her. They come from nowhere else.
This is a sidebar question. So let's say your son and your daughter is there married and you see this, you see both of your children, they have great spouses. To your eye and your discernment and whatnot. Let's say your son is stepping out on his wife, and let's say your daughter, her husband is stepping out on her, or like they're having issues. Like, how do you tell them what is wrong, and then let them do their thing, or do you keep, you know, representing and keep on drilling that in them like, hey, you need to change. You're not doing this right.
Actually, personally, you know what? I wouldn't say anything to my children. I wouldn't, personally, because I have nothing to do with that. But here's the thing. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot, I may go to their spouse, if that was the case, and say, yeah, you know that's wrong. You feel me? Now, that's the thing. That's just coming from my perspective on that. I wouldn't say anything because, see, I state that, and let me say this, the reason I say that is because my children, what I've implemented into my children, right, what I've always told them from day one is what's right and what's wrong. Even when they went off to college, right, what's right, what's wrong. What's right? What's wrong? So you can tell me you're going to do this. You can tell me you're going to do that. But as long as you can tell me that you know what's right and wrong, then whatever happens after the fact, you're held responsible, right? Because you knew what's right and what's wrong, right? You're wise enough for that. And so that's what I leave it at. I leave it to the laws of nature. I cannot cross that, especially when they are grown. You feel me? You know, they're married or whatever they're doing. That's their business. I'm that's not my stress.
So then that would be an example of you letting them be the students?
That's right. They have to learn. Exactly right. That is exactly it. They have to learn a lesson. They haven't learned a lesson. Right? They have to learn it. I can't get them through it.
Cool. That's why I was asking. That's why I was getting around to that, because I wanted to know exactly what that student teacher example looked like. So that makes that better explains it. So
yeah,
I get that. Okay. And then the fact that you said, as long as you can tell me what's right from wrong.
Yes.
And then you give your child the freedom and the liberty to make the choice for themselves. Because to be honest, y'all, this is what they're going to do anyway. So.
Yes. And listen, so why stress? Why add extra stress to yourself, right?
Right. Because either they're going to either do it in front of our faces or they're going to do it behind our backs. And what we don't want is for our kids to put on these masks in front of us and then yes. have all these issues going on behind closed doors. So, okay. All right, Doobie. That's true. Totally.
They would be more honest. I tell you, my children are more honest with me, I feel, than they would normally be.
I bet.
If I had not have been taking that route.
I bet they are. And that's because of, like you were saying, I think that's because of the upbringing that you gave them. So it's like, there's no reason to hide something from you because they can, like, you've created that space that they can talk to you. They can make their mistakes. They yeah. can teach you things. Like, you're just that type of a father. So, and agreed, that stuff has to be worked on when they yay high. So.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Yes.
Yeah. So do you think that the lessons that you've learned about being a man and just being human, being a human being and a father, do you think that that broke some of the generational shackles off of your kids?
You know, I love that. Yes, I really do. I speak about that, and that's similar to what I speak about it when it comes to being traditional, okay? And I feel that most of us are stuck with traditional habits. Okay. And what I mean by that is...
Hey, y'all, I know that this is a good show, but lately, have you been thinking about adding a new nonfiction book to your personal library? Check out our true story. It's called Fed Up, Changed Up, Now What? Where every chapter pulls back the layers of our dating and marriage life. With a workbook included, biblical quotes, and we've even added resources for our readers that are in need of physical and spiritual support. Pick up your copy of Fed Up, Changed Up, Now What today. Okay, now back to the show.
We will live the tradition instead of respecting it and learning from it. You feel me? That's a big difference there. You feel me? So therefore, if you are going to live the tradition, then you are going to carry the same traditional issues of the past. You're living in the past, right? You're not living in the moment. And you haven't learned anything if you're going to live in tradition. I feel that that's where we get being traditional a little confused, because we have to learn from tradition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it allows us to live in our moment where we are at our strongest point.
Wow. You know what? I got something for you later on in the show about that tradition, so don't you worry.
Sure.
But you're so right. You know, a lot of times we do live our lives in a tradition. And man, one of my pastors back in the day brought an example of a family that they was by tradition during the holidays, they would use a certain type of pan to bake a meal in. Mm-hmm. And I think the pot had no handles or something was going on with it. And they've been doing it for years. So when somebody asked the young lady, I think it was her kid, like, why do you use this pot? And she goes, well, because my mom used it, her mom used it, and blah, blah, blah. Well, they later on found out that the reason why the family from the older days used it wasn't because that was the pot to use. It was just all that they had. So they made it work. You see what I'm saying? And so I feel like that's how we live our lives.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make it right because grandma did this or great, great, great. Maybe they were using what they had, or they had their reasons as to why they chose the path of life that they chose.
See, somebody did not open Big Ma's notebook. They didn't do it.
Nope.
That problem. You're exactly right on that, the way you said that. That's exactly right.
That's exactly why, if you guys are listening and you have grandparents or older uncles, fathers, like parents, sit down at their feet and listen from time to time. Ask them questions, you know? Ask them questions about little things. And I think you'll be shocked as to the answers that you get. You'll be surprised. And it's just so much wisdom that we could gain. But if they said something to you and you don't understand it, just politely ask them why. Like, what, you know, what's the meaning of this? So, all right, now we are almost done, but I would like to know about the moment that Doobie found Doobie.
Ooh, wow. How about that?
Whether you was young, whether you was a teenager, early 20s, 30, like, I want to know about that moment that you found yourself.
Listen, you know, that's excellent. I will say this. The moment that I realized that I needed to, I tell you, I'm glad you asked that question. When I was into the Christian part of my life, right? Mm-hmm. And when it came to religion, my mother had me sing in the choir, and I was singing a song called They That Believe, right? Which is a verse from the Bible. And so it was a scripture, the song. And so I was singing this song, and I hated to sing. I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. And so I had to sing this song, but I sung this song, and the church was like really excited, right? I mean, they really was into this song. And so that really touched me, and it kind of, it gave me a vision, like, wow, something touched me that I had never felt before. And so from that moment on, I was always chasing that moment. And then I realized what that moment was. It was me feeling myself. It was me being myself, right? But somehow, again, being myself got lost because I became so procedural, living a false life. I came back to myself, though, as I got older, because once I realized that I was, you know, it stayed in the back of my head, but I really didn't know what it was, right? It stayed in the back of my head. But once I got into college, once I went to college and I started meeting people and traveling a little bit, and one person I met was, I really didn't meet him, but it was like I got to shake his hand, and it was Nelson Mandela.
Oh, right?
Yes, once I shook his hand, it was like a pass through. You go through, you shake his hand, and it was like that. It wasn't like you get to meet him. I was actually by myself. It was like a lot of people that got to walk through and shake his hand, but it was great. It was a beautiful thing at Georgia Tech Stadium years ago. It was years ago. And so for me, it was like, if I could do this, that is life changing. Life changing, right? So I really needed to be into myself. And that was great. That was one of the moments, being there, right there in that stadium with Nelson Mandela, the atmosphere just, it came alive. And that was the very last moment that said, okay, I need to find out who I am.
Right, right. Oh my gosh, you got to shake his hand?
Yeah, actually, you know, it was quick. It was probably maybe 20,000 people out there, but I think maybe probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 people got to shake his hand, probably.
Oh, wow. How old were you around that time?
That time, I was probably 19.
Oh, man.
19, 20 years old at that time, I believe it was. Yeah, it was years ago.
Did you wash your hands since then?
You know, here's the thing with me. I don't really get starstruck like that, but I mean, I respect the moments.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, because, you know, I'm too into myself for that. You know what I mean? I've been a selfish person to myself for a long time, and now I realize how selfish I've really been. I'm a selfish dude.
Right, right. I used to sing with bands and travel. I've met a lot of incredible people, but there's still a couple people that if I met, I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to work on my composure, because and that's Tyler Perry, because you see what I'm saying? Because they have, man, the stories, and if you watch Oprah's or know Oprah's documentary and then Tyler's documentary, it's life-changing, and we got some similarities. I love those people, but I get excited when I meet good people in general, but I get what you're saying, like all that starstruck stuff and praising, like idolizing people and stuff.
I mean, I respect them. I really do, because they are, you know, what they've done, what they're doing, and the impact they have. I respect that. I really do. But, you know, I'm too into myself. I'm real. I'm not in reality. I'm real. I've learned to be real, you know? That's what it, you know, because listen, my heart beat just like this.
That's right.
It's that simple.
That's right. And little do people know, especially fans and like fanatics, they don't understand that some of these people that you think that if you were to meet them, that they're going to be like the person that they get paid to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you meet them in person, they are not who you thought they were on the screen. So this is why it's good to not have a respect of persons. I'll treat everybody with respect.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, man. Like, respect is respect. We're all human. Mm-hmm. We, like, come on now. We can't be doing that. But I still see it being done. It's sad, but yeah. Now, we're going to shift gears a little bit now.
Sure.
I know that you're a big advocate of self-care. What type of things do you do to show yourself love and to care for yourself?
Okay, well, I have a respect for the trinity of life. And so that's the mind, body, and soul.
Okay.
So with that being said, I understand what it takes for my body, right? I have to exercise my body, take care of it, feed it right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My mind, I have to make sure that I put the right things in my body so that I can have cognitive and clear thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then for the soul, once those two are taken care of, the soul itself is strengthened. So therefore, the trinity is complete. That leads me around the pie. Right, which is the masculine, the feminine, the inner child. Okay, then you go on around the pie, which would lead you to the energy, the frequency, and the vibrations of life. All of this understanding and learning comes from that female that has an understanding of herself. And when you can do that, and when you can come across a female that understand who she is, the universe is that much more powerful. And so therefore, that's why I am in the mindfulness that I'm in, to strengthen my body, my mind, and my soul. All of that for the whole pie. I don't need a degree of anything. I need the whole pie strengthened.
Wow. And then speaking of the body, I know that you get your waters from the mountain. Can you tell people about that?
Yes, spring waters. Straight from these Georgia springs. Yes.
Wow.
You know, I have buckets. I have buckets that I have to get. And I live off of those for at least a month. And you have to refill. But spring water is so pure and organic for the body. You know, a long time ago, they used to say it was only going to take bread and water to take you through a day. Now, the bread part, but the water, thick. Spring water, real spring water, is thick. It will fill you up. Your body is majority water anyway, and that's what it needs to cleanse itself and to flush the impurities out. It's real simple.
Okay. All right. Well, now, and I'm going to tell you about this. You know, with society today, it's like a swarm of opinions, thoughts, talks, words, basically.
Yes.
how can a person maintain their own identity these days? Because it used to be that, you know, family made the biggest impact on your life, and it goes into that tradition we were talking about. But now it's a little bit more dangerous. We've got social media, commercials, all these movements. How can someone keep their own identity in these type of days?
Well, the best thing I can say is if one can really just start really focusing on themselves, right? Eating healthy, because eating healthy will, again, as I've stated, give you the cognitive thinking, because it will allow you to see the things that you need to improve on, eliminate the things that will cut down on the stress. Our stress level should be 90%. This is how we should be. It should be 90% happiness, 10% stress. That's life. That's life. That's heaven with a little bit of hell, right? Because you have to have a little bit of hell in order to enjoy heaven. So therefore, that's how you grow into that heaven. But if we can just ponder on the mere fact that we should put ourselves first, right? Put ourselves first. Focus on us. How important are we, right? How important is the individual? You, right? If you can do that, that will be the start of you changing the world around you.
Yeah, I like that, because what I noticed about your talks is whatever position you hold, you pretty much hold it very strong. Now, that's not to say that you're not like inviting to other people's opinions. Like, you sit there and you listen. You might ask a question when they're finished, but you guys, you know, you dialogue with your guests and with your clients and all of these, you know, the followers and all of these things. But like, if you go on, let's say, YouTube, for instance, or IG, and you look on a post or a video, it's like a lot of people say the same things. And I could see it very clear. Some people just agree with others just to keep the peace and just so that they won't be the oddball. But as soon as somebody goes against the grain and voices their own opinion and try to stick with their own identity, they get shunned down. And now it's like, I don't know, like a bunch of bees just swarming in at them, attacking them for their own perception. And so what you get is sometimes folks, they won't be so open to sharing their opinion anymore. And then after a while, they kind of can get lost in their beliefs and values and in their own self. So that's why I was asking you, because it's like, as soon as you open your mouth these days, if you're not agreeing with the masses.
Yes.
You know, you get cast out and you can lose your identity trying to please somebody else and keep the peace.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's, you know, that's a gray area for a lot of people. But here's the thing. It's going to take something. It may take something, someone to bring that awareness, right? Eventually, it's going to get there. You know, it's just people are at certain points on their journey. Everyone's not going to be able to come to the table at the same level on the journey. That wouldn't be possible, right? So as long as you are on that journey and aware of it and you're at the table, and that's fine, because we're all learning from each other anyway. So it doesn't matter. But as long as you are aware of it, and see, that's the thing, you're right. If one can, I can only say that one must start focusing on themselves and should not have to be bribed to do that. You feel me? Because we are too procedural, chasing a procedural way of living life.
Right.
We're not living our life.
That is so true. All right. We got this last question, man. We got this last question. Doobie has been so wonderful, y'all. This is why I brought him on, because he really has a great perspective on things. I like how he lays it out and explains it. And he's been just such a great guest thus far. So what do you do in your leisure time as an outlet? Now, for me, it's karaoke. So everybody that comes visit me, we got to go and do karaoke. But that's my outlet. And I got my signature songs. I got my Anita Baker Angel. I got my Erykah Badu. I got my Rolls Royce, Wishing on a Star. Like, karaoke is my thing. But what do you do as an outlet?
Well, you know, I actually... Now, what I love nature. Now you can take me on any trail in the world, and I love it. But for the most part, if I'm not on that trail, then I'm sitting out on my patio or somewhere, right? I love to be outside because the connection is so powerful. It's a beautiful thing because you have to give those moments to nature. We must. Mm-hmm. You know, because we did as children. We did as children because we were into nature. We were outside, regardless if we realized that or not, but it was outside for the most part, you know, depending on your era, because a lot of people today are missing that because other than maybe some type of sports that you may be into, then you're not getting that outside entertainment that you need, right? Mm-hmm. That outside energy that you need. Because of social media and things of this new technology that we're in today. And I feel that parents that are aware of themselves, that are truly having an understanding of themselves, should always allow their children to experience nature without some type of sporting event. I really do, because this is how we would be able to grow. This is how we would be able to maintain the innocence from birth, right? We would be able to maintain that contact to that innocence from birth, because when we're born, it's pure, it's innocent. But when the parent is so procedural in life, then that challenge, the clashing of the innocence and the procedural way of life begins. And so therefore, it's a difficult journey for that child.
Absolutely. When what an incredible interview. Doobie, this is my favorite part of the show. Not because it's the end of the show, but what I found out during the pandemic was that depression rates and suicidal rates has skyrocketed. I don't care if it's one life or more. One is enough. It's crazy. So this part of the show is very endearing to me because it reaches a certain individual with the different guests that we have on. So I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay. And this is your moment to speak to the heart and to give that person advice on your take on things.
Okay.
All right. There's a person out there that is as kind as he could be, a rather gentle soul. But the thing is, he's lived his entire life playing it safe and doing what others told him to do. Doobie, he finished school with honors. He obtained a quote-unquote good job, a pension, hitting 40 hours a week, and now he's married and he has a family. Even though his loved ones can't see past his smile and accomplishments, he's dying on the inside daily. When no one's home, he often deals with these thoughts, and they go, I want more, and who am I? How can this gentleman begin to find and collect himself?
Wow, great. First, he must find out what introduced him to the lie, right? The lie, right? The lie, because he was always detached from what he really was. Therefore, he was chasing it. Because originally, see, we have to be open and honest from the beginning. If we're not, then we're going to be chasing something that we are falsely wanting or falsely needing, which is not necessarily going to be good for our life. We have to have feelings for things. It's not a dream, a fantasy, a prayer, a hope that we need in our life. Therefore, in a situation like that, it's only because one was detached from himself from the beginning. So therefore, he's chasing something that he doesn't need. And it becomes a fantasy. It becomes a dream. Again, it becomes a prayer. It becomes a hope. But when one is having the understanding of themselves, or they journey back to one's self, right? The journey back to self. Putting you first, loving yourself first, then everything that you feel you need will be there for you without question. It's that simple. Now, that may be difficult to understand when you are not in that perspective, but I'm not here to make it that easy. I'm just here to raise awareness with that. So therefore, you dig into that. You put yourself in a position to want to understand who you are and why you are here and what your life purpose is all about. That's the harsh real of that scenario, not a reality of it. And I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to put salt on it at all. It's real. That's a real perspective and my opinion of that.
Well, you heard it. This is the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. We got 1 minute on the clock. You're going to try to answer these questions as quickly as you possibly can. Ooh. And the first thing that comes to mind.
I like that. Okay.
All right, Doobie. In 10 years, I will
affect the world like no one else has.
One thing you like about your clients.
The reciprocated love.
First thing you do in the morning when you first open up your eyes.
Give appreciation to the Creator for my breath.
Most valuable lesson you've learned in life.
To love myself.
Let's see if you know your music, mister. A mighty love will sometimes make a
strong man. I don't know my song, but I made that up.
Oh, I'm gonna give you another chance. Do okay. You remember?
I'm lost.
And last but not least, my kids are
my world.
My world. Thank you so much.
Well, I really enjoy speaking with Doobie. I think that we as people need to have more of these type of dialogues. Now, no one is perfect, but I'm going to challenge you to do just what Doobie did as far as when he utilized the resources that were already in his life. So, for instance, use what your previous relationships have taught you. Remember the things that your mothers and grandparents shared with you. If the examples you had were not perfect, that's okay, because you've learned what not to do. Now, what I took from this show is this. Nobody is ever too big to become the student or too small to become the teacher. One person's lesson is another person's blessings. What a great show. So to get in touch with Doobie, you are more than welcome to check out his Instagram at iDan. Don't worry, I'm going to link it all down below as far as how to spell it. Man, and when I think of iDan, I think about Warren G, when he goes, he tells his homies, "I Dan," you know. But anyway, if you would like to get in touch with him, go ahead and check out the Instagram, and I'm going to link everything down below in the description, okay? He is a motivational speaker and a life coach. So reach out to him about his services and his products and for speaking opportunities. Now, to keep up with me, Coach G, and the Changed Up Now What movement, please visit our website, www.cu-nw.com now. And remember, it is not until you are truly fed up that you will change up. But after you've changed up, then what? I'll see you next Saturday with more inspiration. Peace.